Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But talking about the Lighthouse Prophecy, it was a prophecy, as I mentioned yesterday in an earlier program, that Bob Jones, a prophet who's with the Lord, just recently gone to be with the Lord, was given this word by God, and it was about the prayer mountain that's in
South Korea,
that God was going to move it to Pensacola, you know? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we get excited and we think, boy, it's now. And it's like, well, no, it's kind of probably about 20 years. But the fact that, you know, in the word, and we're talking about what's happening, and the interesting thing about this word, and you can hear the whole thing, is that it's sort of like, you know, Israel's getting this prophetic word saying you're going to have 10 plagues, and then the Lord's going to show himself mighty and for us. And then he's going to lead you out, and you're going to put blood over the doorpost. And they tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you see the frogs, and you see the blood, and you see the plagues, and then you see the blood on the doorpost, and you see people suffer because, you know, and so it's a big difference being someone who went through the Passover versus someone who's celebrating the Passover.
Mm.
And a lot, I think there's many people that can talk from this perspective, but we definitely can talk from this perspective that we've walked in this word.
Oh yeah.
Walked in this word. We've seen, as we talked about, the spiritual vandals, you know, vandalizing the truths of God and the move of God and the things that are going on. And this is the big thing. You know, as we're talking about, we're going to begin to talk about in this program, we're going to continue in the next program. This is what Jesus said. I mean, this is what God said through his son, because he said nothing unless he heard his father say it. He said, people are going to do things for me in their minds, not understand they're killing me. It's going to be religious. And you have to remember, just because it's religious to you doesn't mean it's right. And he said, people are going to kill you and think they're doing me a favor. He's talking to his body. He says, whatever you do, the least of these of mine you do to me. He told Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, you think, well, that, you know, Jesus is with the Father. No, the body, when we actually do something wrong to the body of Christ, for example, if you and your spouse, you know, you're a believer and your spouse is a believer, not only is he your husband, but he's also the body of Christ. And not only is she your wife, but she's the body of Christ. So ever how you treat her or treat him, that's how you're treating Jesus. He even talks about many people die early for wrongfully discerning this fact. Or you see children who don't understand that your parents are Christians, and you're not only coming against the way God's established things, but you're coming against God. Mm-hmm. When you're coming against your folks, and your folks are probably interceding for you as they're praying for you, mm-hmm. that, you know, something wouldn't badly happen. And so vandals were coming in religion, is what this prophetic word we've been talking about, and they were just causing the leaderships in what God was doing to be sunk and destroyed and that type of thing, you know. And just basically imagine spray painting wrong perceptions of what God says across somebody's ship, mm-hmm. or church gathering place or forehead. You know, whatever it is, I don't know. And so, I mean, this is the word. And then we saw it. And when you're in it, it's kind of difficult. When you're being vandalized, all you can do is just go, like, help me get through this. You know, help me get through this. Because it's really tough, you know. I can imagine, you know, what it's like when, you know, a husband is sitting here watching his wife spray religious graffiti across his forehead. You know, it's like, this is my wife, and why am I getting, she, you know. Or somebody who's a member of your fellowship being used to damage your fellowship, or to bring false accusation against your fellowship, or to bring division and strife and discord, or to go out publicly and, you know, gossip and rumor, or go to media and begin to say these things against the body of Christ.
Mm.
You know, and that's what David talked about. David talked about, you know, I could take something for a stranger. Mm-hmm. You know, I could take something for a stranger, but this is someone that was amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Judas, right?
Yeah, sure.
It, you know, it's just, that's just that thing. And so, but the great thing about this word is that he's talking about that he's looking for anyone who sincerely, says, I will partner with you, God, and allow you to do this thing, to bring the light back into these lighthouses again. That's called the lighthouse prophecy. And so maybe that's you. Maybe you're sincere. You say, you know, I want to bring the light. And you think, well, what is the light? He says, go be the light of the world. And that's what we talk about, keeping the conversation light at VFN TV and the daily radio program. What we're doing is kind of looking at how things are and then seeing what God's word says about it. We're abiding with the Lord through all this, seeking his perspective and shining the light of God's word on that. And that's the light. Mm-hmm. You know, put the light on it. God's word is a light unto my feet. It tells me where I'm at. And it's a lamp unto my path that tells me where I'm going. You're in the dark if you don't have the lighthouse. You know what I'm saying? You're in the dark. Right. And lighthouses help you get through storms and help ships survive in difficult times. And I believe the Lord is reestablishing. I mean, over and over again, he's told us. He's reestablishing and he's going to put light back in the lighthouse again. So make sure you catch us on our next program. We'll be just a moment because it's four programs back to back. We're going to break it down and talk about Bob Jones's prophetic word that was given, that was reiterated by, I believe, a spiritual son of his, at least definitely family, Paul Keith Davis. And join us there. It is the lighthouse prophecy. God tells us in advance, if we believe God and move in that by faith and say, Lord, here I am, use me, I think we're going to see some great and mighty things. Mm. We are talking about and continuing our conversation about the lighthouse prophecy. Because some things we talked about it in the beginning was just kind of, you know, just telling you the prophecy, mm-hmm. but now we're kind of interjecting our journey on it.
That's right.
And a lot of people, I'm sure, I don't know, I can't tell you, probably could say some of the same things, because you're talking, you know, 700 cabinet members that God's right. putting together. But I feel I'm getting to feel it in my heart, you know. For kingdom-minded, the thing about it is that are you willing to give up your kingdom, you know, for the kingdom of God? And somebody says, I don't have no kingdom. Well, then you find out when you have to give it up.
That's right.
You know, and normally, I mean, it's pretty much been like that all along. When you look at economies and all of that, and the nation's conflict, it's been about people having to give their job up. Give their money up. Like, somebody took my job, and all of a sudden, people latch on to whatever narrative at the time is to be able to make sure they get to keep their kingdom, their job. Mm-hmm. And as Christians, we believe that even if somebody takes from us, God will restore it to us.
That's right.
A hundredfold. Mm-hmm. If we work hard, you know, and honor God with the tithes and the offerings, abide with him, you know that ever how it turns out, it's a good thing. God's going to take care of you. I mean, look at the weight John's gaining. I mean, hey. God can take care of you.
No,
you
did know. You? Wow. Did you hear that?
It's wow. me. I was deflecting.
Can we zoom?
Believe me.
You know what?
I'm getting communication on it.
I'll release us.
All right.
I won't hold
it. Really, he's not. He's really not gaining weight.
No, he's working out. I've seen him.
It's TV ads. You know what I'm saying? I just
it's TV. They say TV ads. Puts 100 pounds on you, right?
There you go.
Who cares? We're prepared for famine, right?
That's right.
We're prepared for famine.
Stored up.
These guys out there, they'll be passing. I was like,
Pat.
I'm eating a steak as we speak. I ain't going nowhere. Just digesting the stuff. Anyway, so we're talking about the lighthouse prophecy because it is a prophetic word. Proven true, happening before our very eyes, given by Bob Jones, confirmed in so many different ways, even in his memorial was confirmed by all the streams, because look at all the streams God prepared for the end time harvest of that one man.
Yeah. Because he told him, some mentioned them, yeah. There's a whole lot more that, you know, they didn't get a chance to actually speak there at right. the memorial.
Yeah, and he told him a billion souls. It's going to take all of us to bring in a billion souls. Uh-huh. So if you know Jesus, become his disciple. Begin to know who he is and right. follow his ways. Mm-hmm. And if you want to know more about that, you can go to VFNTV.com or you can go to iabide.org and begin to say, you know what? I want to know him and know his ways. He says, if you follow my teachings, you're really my disciple, which means if you don't follow his teachings, you're not really his disciple. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so you want to be a disciple. And by the way, his he tells us what to do because he's designed everything. And he knows how to take care of us, and he knows what's good. He's not putting a whole bunch of rules and laws down. He's just saying, hey, if you walk in front of the bus, it's going to hit you and you're going to die.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody says, I don't believe it. Bladoom. You're going to stand in the throne room of God. Wow, you were right, God. The bus did kill me. Anyway, so we're talking about the Lighthouse Prophecy because I think it's a now word. I see it being rebuilt and established. And I start thinking about the prayer mountain being moved from South Korea to Pensacola, what the word that was given, and that it was going to be established, and that the nation was going to be reached by it. We talked about one of the words over Pensacola is the womb of America, and what a better place to birth prayer and the aspect of it, although it's coming, I believe, through IHOP, International House of Kansas City, prayer in Kansas City with Mike Bickle. But when we're reading the prophetic word here, is he talks about that a government would be established like a cabinet. And you think about it like the presidential cabinet where you have a secretary of state, secretary of defense, and all of that. And so there will be different giftings and different people have different abilities, and they'll all work together for one kingdom vision with no infighting and jealousy and all that. And it always surprises me. I mean, but it's just, you know, you're just being naive if you don't think that's... That was when I read this whole prophecy.
I know what you're about to say.
When I read this whole prophecy, the only thing that just like, oh, was that there can't be jealousy, envy, or infighting, you know, because it won't function.
Right.
And you don't want to think that... why would anybody be jealous of anybody if you're for the same kingdom? If you're for... the kingdom of God. Even Charles Simpson says, I believe if a dog comes in town preaching Jesus, throw him a bone. Yeah. I mean, if somebody's preaching Jesus and Hello? They're giving their life down, you should not be, you should not hinder them. You should help them because that's Jesus's gospel. Mm-hmm. And even if they don't believe it, the gospel is so powerful that even those who preach it who don't believe it can actually win folks. Matthew chapter 7, right?
Yeah,
Jesus said
right.
And so in that, he talks about this cabinet come together. It's going to be 700 ministers were sufficient to minister to come together. They could minister to, they're going to be able to minister to 250,000 people at the same time. At the same time. Now, we're not talking about ministries, not, you know, standing in front of a place and preaching at someone. We're talking about ministry. Think right. about that. You're actually ministering to folks. And then what an interesting thing that he calls it, the Lord's Woodstock. And all, if you remember, the Lord showed me, he showed me a Christian, I mean, obviously not the debauchery and stuff
right,
that's happening.
Right.
But it was all outside and all these, I had this vision and that it was, you know, everybody was just in natural, normal attire, mm-hmm. jeans and shorts or whatever, and lawn chairs, but we're all piled outside. There's so many of us. And it was just like a, you know, a clean, grassy, you know, Woodstock aspect of it. And I thought, man, that was so exciting to be able to see that. And we can do this. You know, if you don't have to do it in a building, you can really do it. You're not limited. I mean, the earth's pretty big.
Right.
And some of the more prophecy we talk about right here. And he says, the rule of God, as he goes on to talk about, he says, the Lord is preparing to build a temple for his sanctuary. And these brethren will be the temple of the Holy Spirit. In that place, a person must carefully watch their footsteps because there will be high levels of accountability. I mean, you think about high levels of accountability, a fear of the Lord. You know, it's one thing we've been praying about. And by the way, the fear of the Lord is our gift.
That's right.
The fear of the Lord keeps us. This is what God told Moses. He says, I'm going to do these dramatic things and show them how powerful I am in the wilderness so that the fear of God would keep them from sin. That's what he's talking about Israel when he brought them in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And if you have no fear of the Lord, you have a big struggle with sin, you know, in the fear of the Lord. And so we've been praying, dear God, you know, strike our heart with the thunders and lightning that come from your throne room, that we may have the fear of the Lord that causes us to tremble in holy dread. People say, that's not how God is. You have to understand he's kind and he's stern. You know, that things that happen in this world happen in the new covenant time, not just the old covenant time. And he's a holy God. And he says, consider hardship as discipline. Why not just have a fear of him and not need it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not learn from Pat's history, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
And my history.
That's right.
You know, you don't. You just believe me. You want to learn, right?
Borrow
that's
it. Right. Just borrow it.
Just borrow it. Yeah, right. I'm going to buy my own. Okay, we'll
go
see.
Go for it.
We'll see you in 40 years.
I don't know how that works.
And so that could scare a lot of folks. You know, high levels of accountability. But you just want to be authentic. I mean, this is about the Lord, anyways. And you don't want to, you know, mess the gospel up and the kingdom. But then he goes on to say, the Lord is saying that he wants to bring 700 people together that will not quarrel with one another, but simply agree enough to where his purposes can be established in righteousness and what the body would call, or is coming, the rule of God. God rules. Mm-hmm. He says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And quite often, you know, the church, we've been using that as a saying. It's like, hey, you know, this is church. And the whole thing is like, no, there's a king in our midst.
Yeah.
There's a holy king in our midst. There's a holy God in our midst. And he rules. So he's established in our presence. So now let's find out what he has to say. How does he want us to live our life? In view of his mercy and because of his grace, that we say he rules. You know, God rules. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because then you start finding out all this other doctrine, but also the things that are in our schools and states and government and all that begins to be a byproduct because the church begins to walk in the ways of God. And just if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and let me rule in their life is what he's saying. He said, then I'll heal the land, which a byproduct of that, all of a sudden the nation of America begins to just turn and be healed. And it's healed when the true word of God that's spoken into existence is being followed, you know, with mercy and with grace, but just being followed there. So that's exciting. So if you want to find out what it's going to be like, there is a thing called the Bible, and you can begin to read it, and you can think, this is what it's going to be like. And you can believe God and say, man, I want to be a part of this, Lord. Yeah. I want to be a part of this. And we're continuing talking about the Lighthouse Prophecy given by Bob Jones and reiterated by his spiritual son, I believe, definitely in the family, Paul Keith Davis, and lived out by many. And we've experienced some of this, but we're talking about it to encourage you to realize that there's hope. God has spoken over this whole situation. And the next part of this prophecy talks about fresh bread. Fresh bread. This is what he says. He says, we can call it a temple or the kingdom of God, for he is the kingdom and he is the center of the temple. The Lord has been instructing me to go back and look at the bread that has been stored up back in the 70s. In the 70s. And he says, I went back and checked the old bread in the Revelation, is what he's talking about, and I discovered that the bread was as fresh today as it was back then, as it was placed on the shelf. And what that means in the context of our journey is that a spiritual father to me, Brother Ken Summerall, is in the 70s is when the hippie movement and all that was going on and a great mass of souls were coming in. There was an outpouring of fresh bread in the very place that we're talking about in Pensacola. And it just happened to be, you know, in kind of the same vicinities and the same journey. And just want to encourage you for those that think, you know, we can do this thing without our fathers, that we can just cut off whatever God did. I mean, including you know, parts the church that had a season and now they just kind of where they were, but they carried the word to a certain point.
That's right.
And brought it, you know, it's all of us. It's all of us. And, in that, there was an outpouring in the '70s and, that's where, Brother Ken Summerall, had just a huge outpouring of just, started, Liberty College Training Launch was his vision. And God took that and launched missionaries that are all around the world today. And in that, what birthed out of that was the Father's heart, because suddenly when he went to go minister to a whole bunch of ministers in a particular place that, if I said a lot of people wouldn't connect to, God just broke his heart and said that basically the ministers, people that are preaching to others, are fatherless. Mm-hmm. They need someone. And God was broken over and broke his heart over that. And then he just turned and said, listen, you know, it's about family. It's about family and fathers. And so God established the Father's heart. And And he never had a problem, you know, being on the cutting edge. It was so mm-hmm. cool to watch him there with his Palm Pilot and his and all that stuff. And as a matter of fact, I still have on my phone now his last text to me when we were going to we were going to have some lunch together and some things that he said. And but one thing he said to me and those that God's called, he says, listen, that you are my special forces, and I'm going to use you to be able to basically establish. Special forces are part of the whole thing. It's just they kind of break new ground and they begin to open up new things, but everybody goes through that aspect of it. I mean, in the Malachi mandate, you remember, it's like, what are you doing? The Malachi mandate, what's going on? Then all of a sudden, the whole world begins to talk about Malachi. That's governors right. and presidents and...
all the way to India.
All the way to India, and because it was establishing something and beginning to walk out. But that could only happen because it was on the shoulders of those like Brother Ken Summerall, who said, you know, it's a father's heart, you know, and he was a father to me. And also, I'm blessed to have two spiritual fathers, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick, but it's kind of all the same understanding, you know, who we are and all that together. And so the 70s to me and to us mean something very specifically in Pensacola, where the lighthouse is going to be established, because my spiritual father was, that's who God was pouring himself out around and touching many. Multitude,
using them mightily,
and it was when he was wanting to build the Liberty Campus, which is now Teen Challenge out there off of Highway 98 in the southern part of that city in Pensacola. My father was the county commissioner back then, so Brother Ken, he went into my dad's office, and my dad was in a meeting, and he said, "I need to meet with the county commissioner because they had everything stopped and they weren't going to build anymore, and they needed a breakthrough." And so So dad's secretary went out to Brother Ken and said, well, you know, he's still in the meeting. He says, this is okay. I'll stay here. And he laid down on the couch. He laid down on the couch and he's just going to stay there. Right. And then, of course, she goes back in and says, you know, he's laying down on the couch out here. And so dad goes out there. My father, Zero Lancaster, goes and signs the paperwork that releases the being able to build Liberty Campus off Highway 98.
Wow.
And and he writes about it in his book, Glory to Glory. And so there's so many connections that are going on, that there's a lineage going on. And so when we say 70s, when he said, I went back and checked, and this is what this generation that a lot of times that we may be guilty of is going like, oh, that was back then, and that music's no, that's old music, or that's an old this, or that's an old that. We got to honor what was.
That's right.
While doing what God is going to do, and it's that anointing that goes double portion that goes down. And so, in this prophetic word, Lighthouse Prophecy, it means a lot to us. It means a lot to me because it was my spiritual father, Brother Ken, that was walking and laboring and all that, and experienced all of the vandals, spiritual vandals that attacked him. You know, his character and. You know, because it was the powerful move of God, and it's tough for folks to see that, and because it's tough for folks to see it who don't want to go with what God is doing at that time. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they're not of God; it just means they're not going to go on with that aspect of what God is doing. The news, and God's doing a new thing, type thing, and so, but established on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so when he says, when Bob Jones in the prophetic word talking about Lighthouse Prophecy. That he went back and they said that the 70s are going to be, you know, brought back up, and the bread that what God did there, which is deliverance and the power of God's spirit, the desire for missions, the huge harvest of, I mean, think about it. This is, for those that don't understand, in the 70s in the hippie movement, or the hippies, they just didn't bathe. They didn't wear shoes. I mean, not all of them, but most of them. And they lived communal. This is coming out of the radical 60s and all the things that took place in the 60s, and it produced, you know.
The Jesus movement came out of that, right?
Yeah, the Jesus movement and all, but it produced all that negative stuff produced simultaneously while all that was going on. God was moving powerfully in the church, which means this, if you can disassociate yourself from all the upheavals that are taking place and lock into the kingdom of God and say, God, you're about to do something mighty and stay focused on that, then you'll be a part of that parallel things that are happening in God. And that's what was going on here. So that 70s mean a lot to us in the context. And maybe you're listening to this now and you're thinking, yeah, I was a part of that. I was a part of that. Well, understand, you're going to be a part of this if you want to be a part of this, because You know, it's all about God. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about one kingdom, you know, the kingdom of God, which Jesus is the Lord. And he goes on to say, he says, this bread is as fresh today as it was then, as it was first put away. I mean, it kind of like shelved it, and it's still fresh today. And then he talks about in his prophetic word, and we have a couple of minutes left on this particular program, and we're going to continue in the following program. He goes, unfortunately, many of today's leadership preach more from a desire for personal security. This is a prophetic word. They preach from more of a desire for personal security than from the inspired word and leading of the Holy Spirit. He says, this is actually a feminine quality and unsuitable for God's government. The coming leadership of apostles and prophets, both men and women alike, must possess inner strength and a total abandonment to the Lord. They will be moved only by the fear of the Lord and not by the fear of man. That's powerful.
Right? Very.
And so when you're going after God, you have to understand you can't save your face. You can't seek his face and save your face at the same time. You just can't do it. But you just got to trust him that he'll take care of your face. You know, he'll take care of you. And whatever happens, if you're going after him, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could tell you right now, that 19 years later, when Steve Hill went for it on Father's Day in 1995, he has no regrets. Mm-hmm. Has no regrets. And so when this thing is about to, I feel like it's breaking loose now, but it's about to break loose in such a way, such a momentum that you have to understand that, first of all, if you're one of those that fall captive to using your abilities to cause fear in other people's life to get them to do what you want them to do, it's going to be great accountability towards that. It might not be good, Ananias, Sapphira, you know, all those that kind of stuff. But we've seen some stuff. You know, we've seen some stuff. I know I say stuff, but I just don't, you know, it's too fresh. And so, but then the fear of the Lord, that's why you need the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord will say, you know what? And this is what I believe. I forget the name of the evangelist, but John will tell us in just a moment probably. But he said, you know, preach like this is the last time you'll ever preach. Give it everything you got like you'll never have a chance to do this again. Pour everything out of you so that when you're finished, you have nothing left because it could be your very last time. And that's what it's like. I really truly believe it's not somebody saying, I'm going to break this down in 15 parts over the next 3 years. It's like, I'm going to give it all to you now. It's going to be like drinking from a fire hydrant. You better get ready. Get you one of those coffee cans that directed right from the city. Because God is about to move. The lighthouse is being restored. Light is coming back to the Gulf Coast. We believe it's going to be a glory zone. The fire mountain, prayer mountain being established, and I believe the Lord is the embryo phase is being developed as we speak. We were talking about the Bob Jones prophecy that he got when he was in heaven. It began, God spoke to him. When he died, he went to heaven and came back. He didn't want to come back until God told him it was for 1 billion souls. And it's just so encouraging because prophecy is meant to warn, but also meant to encourage. There's other areas of prophecy, and we like this because we had to do the other, you know, and now we're like, this is good. This is good. And so we're just going to continue this conversation in today's program, talking about the Lighthouse prophecy given by Bob Jones, who has just recently gone to be with the Lord, and a general, and who prepared. I mean, he did. And God gifted him in a way to do what he did. And prepare for 1 billion souls worldwide. It was amazing, the things. You think about just out of the Asian move coming out of IHOP and what Mike Bickle's doing, there's so many on fire Chinese and South Koreans and, you know, Asians that they'll labor in the worldwide harvest fields, you know.
I was going to say, if you ever doubted what God can do through one man who truly trusts in the Lord, you know, they don't need to doubt. I mean, Bob Jones didn't promote his ministry. He didn't write a book. He didn't do any of this stuff. And God used him, like you said, to speak into all of these ministers' lives that are just have huge, you know, ministries, equipping ministries that are actually ministering to the entire body. But listen, all you need is you and God. You and God is enough.
That's right.
Yeah, and the and it just shows you could spend all your time in the school of prophets.
Yeah.
Or you can listen to the word of God when he speaks and repeat what he says and take no credit for it. You know, and then what it is, he just spoke what God said.
That's it.
And that's much more powerful. Just repeat what he says. And that's what God wants. God's looking for folks that just understand this is what he's doing. he's the one doing this, and he's been doing it, and he wants to continue to do it. And those that will, he's not looking for able vessels, he's looking for willing vessels, because he will actually enable the willing vessels that are there. And 700, according to that word, a leadership of 700 working together and training up and launching them. I mean, think about a billion souls and what it would take for the church in the world to be able to handle that. Disciple and train and launch and relate, and those it's exciting, but it's very demanding too, you know, in the context of that, because it's a journey.
Sure.
It's a journey. Discipleship's a journey and all of that. Salvation is instant, but discipleship is a process that some get on, some don't get on, and some start on but don't stay on. And Jesus said, you're really my disciple if you follow my teachings. They know the truth, and the truth will set you free, right? And he says, go make disciples of the nations. He didn't just say, you know, go tell people I exist and get them to commit to the reality that I exist. He says, even demons know that and tremble. He says, go make disciples, you know, and we can't be in rebellion against God and think we're in relationship with God. And that would mean if God says this is the way you should go, walk in it, and we say no, knowing and saying I believe that he exists, no matter what religion tells you. I mean, come on, if your spouse did that, you'd be upset. If your child did that, you'd be upset. If your employee did that, you'd be upset. And us being evil understand that. How much more does God understand? You said no to his ways, but yes to his name, because you thought that was a get-out-of-hell-free card.
Right.
Instead of understanding that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. And it's just, that's what this is all about. But that we're talking about the lighthouse. Oh, there it is, the lighthouse prophecy. And in the lighthouse prophecy, he starts talking about the next aspect of it. And you can get all these, you know, segments. You can get at VFNTV.com or on the app, or you're viewing them possibly on Christian Television Network as well. But he talks about that the Mayflower did not have lifeboats. I mean, think about the Mayflower. When you think about when the pilgrims were coming, if you really understand the story and thank the Lord for
Monumental.
Monumental, done by Kirk Cameron. And you can find out about that on the VFN Torch, but it really tells the story of these persecuted people who would have stayed where they were, but they couldn't live. They would be dead if they stayed where they were, and they just found God. The Bible was released. It got in their hands, and they found God, and they had a relationship with him. They wanted to follow God's ways. They became disciples of Jesus. And a long story short, they had no choice but to be pilgrims, to begin to head out, and it was costly. And but there was no, I mean, it's silly to think if you're running for your life that, is there a way to have is there a 401k with this? I mean, is there a lifeboat with this? You know, so many people think, you know, this is what Steve was talking about with Peter Wagner, and we've played it before. You may hear it again in the future. Maybe we'll have it during the break right here, where he's talking about, you know, salary packages. You know, he's talking about Peter Wagner, if you could find that. He says, is there a salary package with that? And he says, I'm not talking lettuce, brother. We're talking about, they're asking if there's a salary package for that. And I say, what are we doing? That's a lifeboat when you think like that. And the thing about it is, when if you can just go through the places where our soldiers lay, their bodies lay in state, for the fact that they gave their lives down because they believed and fought for this country and the Constitution, defended it, and defended our right to do what we're doing now.
Yeah.
And you can go back and look at the martyrs in history and what those that we read about continually have done and laid down their life. There's no lifeboats. There was no lifeboat with Paul when Paul was chained up, you know, going to Rome. When the storm hit it, the only lifeboat he had was a word of God that says, this is what God said. If we hold on to his word, then we'll live. But if you jump off this wreck, you'll be wrecked. You know what I'm saying? And so this is a very important part of this word, is that there is no lifeboat. There was no lifeboats on the Mayflower. So when we're launching into this, understand it's going to be an intense, tense time. He goes on to say in the lighthouse prophecy, the temple that I saw is actually the lighthouse of God, the real lighthouse of God that eliminates the area and gives the inspired word of God by the mouth of an anointed priest. It's spoken of like in Malachi 2, 5 through 7. the Malachi mandate of all the different things you think about it. And then he goes on, he talks about how the Lord has preserved hidden manna for this day. Think about it. There's hidden manna he talks about that there's something that has not yet been revealed that's going to be revealed in this day. And we're seeing a revelation. This whole journey, I mean, it's been unveiling of things that he's showing us. And he says, it is strong meat of Hebrews chapter 5 and 6. He talks about this manna and this strong meat will be revelation of the written word of God. And it will eliminate, we talked about, VFN radio is about that, about bringing light to all that the Lord is doing. So it's pretty, it's some awesome light, but it's also some new revelations going to be coming according to this prophetic word. And he said, this hidden manna will bring light to those living in the darkness of the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, which the Lord hates. So there are doctrines, religious doctrines, that people are following that are not of God. I mean, think about how much God would really hate that. In his name, you are perverting his gospel. Mm. And he says, he hates these Nicolaitans. He hates that. Mm-hmm. And he said, but this light is going to reveal those held captive by those false teachings, which means if you're following that kind of situation, when this brightness of God's word is released in the Gulf Coast, it's going to show that. You're going to be able to see that. It makes me think of the call when, Rick Joyner writes about his vision and how people were locked down in prison. God's people were locked in prison and how to get out of that right. And how there's these groups inside, these clique type situations, and that when he would show up, the light in his life would help them to see everything. But when he walked away, they were back in darkness again. And what this word is saying, based on what I'm understanding here, that a lighthouse brings light to everyone. Mm-hmm. So the whole Gulf Coast, the boom, is going to get free. Everybody's going to go look and go, my goodness. And then when somebody walks away from you, it doesn't matter because you got the light of the lighthouse. I mean, think about it. VFN TV and the data radio program could be a part of bringing that light to you that you can listen to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and get in so many different ways to say, what is a perspective? What is a biblical perspective? A normal conversation about a normal life, but about a awesome, holy God, and not being, yelled at, but just talked about, what's going on with this? What meanest thou this, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's very exciting. That means people are going to be set free, because once you can see you're in captivity, you can get free. Jesus said, he says, I am the bread of life. He is the hidden manna. And he finally says, the Lord is revealing that he desires to restore the lighthouse and the old temple, which is the lighthouse of God. It's the lighthouse that will keep ships, leaderships, from shipwreck in the times to come. Mm-hmm. So there's a time coming right now that, old practices of trying to do this thing outside the ways of God is not going to stand. The only thing that's going to stand is doing it God's way, mm-hmm. God's way of doing that. And it's exciting to hear about that, because when we hear the lighthouse prophecy, being established, the lighthouse is being established in Paramount and being established, and God's doing something. I don't know why Pensacola. I don't know why the Gulf Coast. I mean, how many people ask those questions, especially those that but I can tell you this, that we were about to shift and we were going to go in the center northern part, well, Dallas, just north of Dallas, Texas. We had everything wide open for us in Dallas to move our studios there and do what we're doing. And just, but as we were preparing to come from around the nation to go to this place in Dallas, God spoke. The America shifted. God spoke, and he spoke very specifically, and he gave two distinct words over where the mountain's going to be.
Yeah.
Very distinct words. I mean, so I was like, I remember somebody was asking me, they go, well, did God mention me? And it's like, what do you say? What do you say to that?
Right.
And the thing about it is God's talking. And he's doing something, and he's going to do something in Pensacola, in this Gulf Coast region. I really feel in my spirit, When you look at the, and if you're hungry for it, proven by Charles Seymour, God will move where you're at. So it's not necessarily a region, but whatever births in this particular area is going to be birthed in the nation, like a womb would. And so a glory zone. And we've already seen since that turn, we've seen industry come in, we've seen business come in, we've seen the economy go up, jobs are coming in. Mm. What that means is this, church around the world, around the nation, that if you take this same mindset towards God, if you say, that's what I want, God, I want your leadership in my life, I want your lighthouse in our city, then you're looking at the same thing will begin to happen in your city. But God will get all the glory for it. We have brought it to a conclusion talking about the Lighthouse Prophecy. Be encouraged. Go to the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and begin to just kind of, hover over it. You can pray over it. Just ask God, if it agrees with your spirit, say, Lord, I would like to see this happen. And prepare yourself, because we're beginning to see the wisdom unfold and how to be a part of that, how we can do this thing. And it's about all of us doing it together for the glory of the Lord. I love what Bob Jones said down in that area. He said he is with the Pensacola Bay Baptist Association, with a lot of the Baptist churches. He says in New Year's down there in Pensacola, New Year's Eve night, I guess, he said, we've come down, we want to go down there and speak a blessing over the city, and we want to make Jesus' name famous. Mm. I'm like, go, Bob!
Love that.
That was awesome. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say, you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.